Number 4B.
So this is a point that I must make very, very clear, or else the next few hours until I finish the chapter on animal magnetism, something would be missing, and the main point would be missing in our consciousness. Can you see what I want to bring out? That up to the fifth revision, she was dealing with animal magnetism or with evil through a metaphysical approach. Whereas the moment she touches truth, the sixth, and love, the seventh edition, she goes out from science, from the synonymous terms, and begins to see animal magnetism in the light of truth and love. We had that very clearly shown in that article where she said, really, that we should fill our thoughts so with truth and love that there is no more any room for any evil to enter in. Then we have really handled the question of animal magnetism. We have then handled it not by accepting it, not by fighting it, not by seeing how it works. We have done with it from a scientific standpoint, where we give animal magnetism no room within our consciousness. And that we can only do if we are really going out from another standpoint than from our human standpoint, from the standpoint really of God, of truth and love. How she said really at the end, her last alteration that she made in 1909 was that the maximum of good is the infinite God and his idea, the all in all. This really gives you a beautiful sense of the 6,000 and 7,000 year period state of consciousness, which goes out from God and can only see the allness of God, where God can only contemplate itself. I said, or you can say, where the seven synonymous terms are only contemplating its own nature. There is no more room in such a consciousness for anything outside of God to enter in. So that we have taken the standpoint from God and therefore are activating within ourselves the Christ idea. So the tone is always truth and love, so to say, in this chapter, in the final edition. It is always truth, which says whatever comes from truth, so to say, is always right, is always real. And therefore, love says, because truth is always right and real, therefore that truth is all. Love says, I'm all, therefore animal magnetism is nothing. So the nothingness of animal magnetism is seen by seeing the allness of truth and love. Or she said that that animal magnetism is nothing, a false belief. It has not a single quality of truth. Therefore, it has nothing to do with truth. And from the point of view of love, she deals with it and says that truth is the allness of good. Therefore, animal magnetism is a mere nothingness. Again, if you put it this way or the other way, you always can see, if one goes out from the standpoint of science instead of metaphysics, you always have the allness of love, and that excludes the possibility of something beside that allness. So there is no possibility for such a thing as something unlike God. Well, this is naturally the standpoint that we have to take in, and I want to do this in going through the chapters. Also, we can see that standpoint of truth and love if we remember quickly the scriptural notes that have been stated at the beginning of the chapter, at the beginning of the sixth revision of truth. You already had that nice sense, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So it is, have no fellowship with the works of darkness, therefore have fellowship with the works of light. Go out from the light, and then in the seventh edition, she has therefore out of the heart proceedeth evil thought. And says, look here, where does evil come from? Not from God. It comes from something outside of God. It comes from your heart. And we want to contemplate that a bit in more detail. We take the text of this final edition. At the beginning of the chapter on animal magnetism, you have that introductory scriptural note. A scriptural note usually gives the pith of the whole chapter. Here it is, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, namely murderers, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. They are absolutely against the standpoint of truth and love. That defiles a man. Instead, that truth is stating the dignity of man. Here it is the very opposite. But what is interesting here now, what you can see is that she does not say that all these things like murders, adulteries, fornication come from evil thoughts. That was the question up to the fifth revisions. There it was shown that everything evil comes from evil thoughts, that it comes from the thoughts of the mesmerist, that it comes from the thought of the malpractitioner. He is thinking that way. And now she makes it very clear that it is not coming from evil thoughts, that evil thoughts are already the outcome of the cause. What is the cause? It is our heart. What is in our heart? Naturally, here the heart does not symbolize really the idea of love as it very often does in the Bible. Here it is showing naturally that which is innate in our whole attitude, that which are the qualities which make up what we are. We are not that what we think we are. We have not invented really envy and hate and jealousy. We have not invented that with our thoughts. They are inherited beliefs that are depraved beliefs, and they are that which really use evil thoughts for murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemy, etc. These are the things that defile a man. So she goes right back, further back than thinking, and says that which thinks evil thought is something much more deeper than we realize, namely our whole mortal carnal disposition. That is that which has to be handled, not just thought. It would be so easy if it would only be a question of thinking. Then, because thinking we can really manage, we can really channelize thinking. It's so easy instead of thinking something evil to think something good. That's so easy. You do it in a split second. We can organize our thinking, manage our thinking, manipulate our thinking very easily. But we cannot do that with our character. That's much more difficult. You can't say, well, don't be jealous. You can't say that. Don't be jealous. That's more difficult than to say, think something else. And so animal magnetism has a deep-rooted cause within the whole mortality of man, within the whole mortality of man that he has inherited from time immemorial, so to say, from the subconscious, from the collective unconscious. It has inherited traditional beliefs, national beliefs, universal beliefs, collective beliefs, archetypal beliefs, family beliefs, health beliefs, or sickness beliefs, much more than health beliefs. You see that the mortal as we are is built up of something else but of our thinking. Our thinking is usually already managed by that inner character and inner disposition of being a mortal. And that defiles, therefore, man. He doesn't say that defiles our thinking. That defiles man. And so we have to see that we have to find a method how that mortal is really transformed into an immortal so that out of the heart of immortal man, of the dignity of man, out of that heart comes only good thoughts, there come only good deeds, and therefore we do no more the works of the darkness, we do then the works of the light, and that handles the question of evil. So, can you see what I want to bring out? Up to the fifth main edition, the belief was constantly everything depends on thinking. And we know that the Christian scientists today still do the same. They always talk about thinking. You shouldn't think this way. You must have good thoughts. You must have divine thoughts. As if that would do the trick. It doesn't do the trick. Our inward disposition is much more stronger than our ability to change our thinking. Much stronger than that. We need a much stronger origin to correct that depraved sense of manhood. And that power that can do that is only the divine power. No other power can do that. No human will can do that. With no human will we can say, I'm no more to be fearful, I'm no more to be envious, I'm no more to be hateful. With all your human will you can't do it. You can only do it if we give birth to a new man, to a divine man. And that naturally is something that is then shown through the Christ translation, through the four chapters of the Christ vertical, through the fifth, sixth, seventh and eighth chapter. That constant translation taking place until at the eighth chapter in the footsteps of truth, then really the divine is then embracing the human and the human is showing forth the divine. Then the human has been overcome and the divine is being established in consciousness in the heart of man. Yes, so that is an important point. Perhaps we have read this scriptural note and said, yes, I know that from the Bible. Yes, all these bad things come from the heart and have made perhaps the false conclusion that we said, and that heart is our thoughts. But from the heart already come evil thoughts. Evil thoughts are just the same thing as murders and adulteries. So it's that heart that has to be changed, not our thoughts alone. Thoughts are the outcome of the heart. It's interesting that we live today in an era where more and more in the last time, the neurologists, those who are investigating the brain, that here and there they come up with that new discovery which they feel they can prove and defend that the brain doesn't think, that the brain is being thought. It's being thought by a mind that is outside the brain. What that mind is, naturally they don't know, but here we have it in animal magnetism that we see that mind is thinking the brain, that the divine mind is the origin of right thoughts and good thoughts. Whereas really the carnality of man is a source to make people think in a wrong way and in a debased way. All right, so we tackle now the seventh subject that constitute the chapter. We have as a title for the whole chapter that in Christian Science there is no animal magnetism. And you see it's a short statement. And it is a statement that has to be considered in its right place value. If a beginner who comes to Christian Science takes that attitude and says in Christian Science there is no animal magnetism, then he says something very true. But for him it is not the scientific truth. For us it is a scientific truth. For him it is not the scientific truth because he does not know what he says. Because he has not grown spiritually through the first four chapters to that statement of Christian Science, to the standpoint of God. And only then, when he takes in that standpoint of God and looks out from God, he can say, I handle animal magnetism by seeing that it is nothing, that there is no such a thing as animal magnetism, because through going the way up to the point of the fourth chapter of seeing that the standpoint is God, we fill our thought from the standpoint of God so that nothing can enter anymore our consciousness which is God-unlike. Then we can say in Christian Science there is no animal magnetism. So can you see what I want to bring out? We have now had, when we were considering the many statements that Mrs. Eddy makes, especially in prose work, about how to handle evil and how evil works and so on, that we have to know evil. Then again she says we don't have to know evil. Then she says that we have to investigate the ways and means how mortal thought operates. Then suddenly we come to the point where we say if we know Christian Science, then we don't not even have to know that, because in Christian Science there is no such operation as hidden ways and means of mortal mind to do its trick. Can you see? We must have a consciousness of the levels, or the dimensional consciousness of the levels in science. Or else we take a statement that is like here, on the level of divine science, or even of science itself, and use it, not having grown through the ascending way from Christian Science to absolute Christian Science to divine science. And then, when we take a level, a statement of a level to which we have not grown to, then that statement is wrong for us. It's not wrong for God, but it's wrong for us, because we can't prove it. We haven't really ascended to that level, and therefore it's not a scientific statement. So in the way we could see, and we pointed out that when we went through the various revisions, that you would change statement right to the opposite sometimes in the next revision. Now, was the earlier one wrong? No, the earlier one was right at that level. But it's not that which we need on a higher level. As we progress and go on, we use different method of healing. We use different method of handling evil and how to deal with animal magnetism. That must be seen very clearly. Now, naturally, in the last edition, she will show really, naturally, the final statement of Christian Science, and not the developing statement. That she doesn't show. Therefore, we have to be clear, and this I have brought out yesterday already a bit, and said this is the important point. I bring it out right now again, and then when we go through the laws, I have to repeat it again, and until then, I think it should be clear what it means. Namely, we have now try to follow me. I try to state it very slowly so as to make it clear. We have now, in the final edition of Science and Health, 7 subjects that deal with the question of animal magnetism. Those 7 subjects follow the order of the word order: mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Okay. We have seen up to now, yesterday, that the development of the question of animal magnetism in the textbooks, in the earlier textbooks, that development also followed the word order, namely first giving an accent on mind, the first edition, giving an accent on spirit in the second main edition, giving an accent on soul in the third main edition, then on principle in the fourth, then on life in the fifth main edition, and then truth in the sixth, and then love in the seventh main edition. So we have a parallel development. The one development, namely those of the revisions, are a development of a process. It was a developing process, a growing process, a spiritually growing process. Whereas if we take the 7 subjects in the last edition, as we have it now, those seven subjects are not a developing process. It's a statement of what is. It's an isness statement. So we have a becoming statement through the revisions and an isness statement in the last edition. That we don't have to forget. If our last edition is an isness statement that just states what is, namely the main tone that in Christian Science really there is no animal magnetism, you see that's an isness statement, we have to see now something interesting, that the last edition, as we have seen, is written from the standpoint of truth and love, from the standpoint of God. That is what the textbook does. And therefore, those seven subjects in the chapter are reflecting the seven unfolding, the seven becoming order of those seven statements. So that we will see that, so to say, the first subject in the final edition, mind, is showing mind from the standpoint of science and from truth and love, from science, and gives to the first edition its answer in science. The first edition was also the tone of mind, you remember, and was presenting animal magnetism from the standpoint of the tonality of mind, so that the subject of mind in the chapter, as we have, is the scientific standpoint on that first edition. And so the second subject in our textbook, spirit, gives a very short description from the standpoint of science, what Mrs. Eddy tried to show in the second revision as a becoming process. Is that clear? Well, more or less. But perhaps if we go through the textbook, I want to point it out more and more. So that what we have, you see, gosh, I wish I could show you the terrific thing that is in it. Can you remember I started out and was saying, why did I make that analysis of the chapter in the early edition? Because as a student in Christian Science, I heard all these things about animal magnetism, all these criminal stories about animal magnetism, how one is malpractice, how one has to protect oneself against the malpractitioner. Today, you hear how people fear that somebody has the time to malpractice them. Today, nobody has any more time to malpractice people. You know, they are too busy in many other things. And then one was reading the earlier article of Mrs. Eddy, you know, Ways That Are Vain, which she didn't want to eternalize in prose work. She didn't want it because she could see the danger. Then we were reading for Mrs. Eddy those articles on malicious animal magnetism, which she never published then in prose work. We were reading that, and that was our concept of animal magnetism, whereas that is no more the concept of animal magnetism from the present standpoint of truth and love. So we have to be, can you see how therefore we have to be careful that we weigh very clearly those statements in prose work which have a date attached to it, or we can find out the date by going back to the journals and sentinels, it's all there, and seeing how the idea of Mrs. Eddy developed over the decades and decades and decades, and that therefore she said we should only take the last edition as that edition which is conclusive for our study, but that the earlier editions are very important to have and to in order to compare the spiritual progress that has been made. But not to go back to the first edition and say, this is my form of consciousness which is stated in the first edition, like she did in mesmerism, and talking all about mesmerism, how a patient's thought can be handled and managed and maneuvered by error and so on. This is no more in the last edition. In the last edition, it goes out from truth and love. Yes. So this is therefore what I want to bring out, that when we go through the text of animal magnetism, that we always can think back when we are in mind to the first edition, when we are in spirit to the second edition, when we are in soul to the third edition, and see the tremendous change that has taken place. And that change is important for us to know, because when we know changes, then we know how we have to change. When we know the changes from where to where in the evolution of the idea, then we protect ourselves of going back to the earlier periods and say that I practice that period. And so we are in danger to go backward instead of forward, to use the old method for a new age. We always must use for a new age the new method. That's why I like to write that booklet on the 1,000-year period. Yeah, I hammer it again. Love that book. Just ponder over it and ponder over it until you see the trick in it, the switch in it, where, and ponder it together with the booklet on Christian Science, compared with metaphysics, so that subject is also very clear, because those two booklets hinge together. And what I have been saying now, right now, on the development of the chapter on animal magnetism as a becoming process, and now the statement as an isness statement, has much to do, again, with the difference between metaphysics and science. We make a break here.